Happy Thanksgiving. Keyword, you know, happy there a little bit. So to have a little emotion. What are some of the things that you're thankful for? That's a rhetorical question. Here's some things that I've run across that people are thankful for. For husbands. Husbands who attack those small repair jobs around the house because usually they make them big enough to call in the big professionals. For children. For those children who put away all of those things and clean up their mess after themselves, they are such a joy that you hate to see it when they go home to their own parents. For teenagers, because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. This is my favorite. For smoke alarms, because they let you know when the turkey is done. Johnny Carson said that Thanksgiving is an emotional holiday. He said people travel thousands of miles to be with people they only see once a year. After they discover that, they realize that once a year is way too often. Hopefully for those of you who traveled far to see your family, that's not the case. You know, I would hope that our list would be different. And it might be, and in no specific order right now, but it could be, you know, I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my job, for my home, for my health. And we could just fill in all of those different things. But hopefully as a believer in Christ and as a follower of Jesus Christ, the most thing that we're most thankful for would be for God when He sent Christ to this earth, because it was Christ who gave us hope. And the reason that we can celebrate Thanksgiving as believers is because what Christ has done. It has nothing to do with a specific Thursday. It has nothing to do with turkey, although I'm not willing to get rid of it. It has nothing to do with the apple pie and all of those good things. It has to do with one person, and that's our Savior Jesus Christ. And what I want to do this evening is focus our attention on that. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, Christ has been teaching the disciples a great deal. And here He's using a story to lay a foundation, not of just His miracles, but of also thankfulness. You know, a question that I came across was, does God really care if I'm thankful? You better believe it. God definitely cares if we're thankful. Luke chapter 17, it's the story of the 10 lepers who are healed by Christ. And it's an amazing, neat story. In verse 11, in chapter 17, verse 11, it says this, "Now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When He saw them, He said, 'Go show yourself to the priest.' As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him and he was a what? Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?' Then He said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" There's an area between Samaria and Galilee, and it's an extremely tense area. The Jewish people hated the Samaritans. And when I say hated, there is no love lost there. It was hatred. So the Jewish people hated the Samaritans, and guess what? The Samaritans what? Hated the Jewish people. Jewish people would not even put one foot into the land of Samaria because it was unclean. They were known as half-breeds. And so there's this tension taking place here, and the tension has been taking place for a long time, and Christ is walking along the border, and Christ had zero prejudicial issues. He had zero racial issues, no political issues. Christ came to seek and save those who were lost. That was His mission. It wasn't to get caught up in politics. It wasn't to get caught up in the racial tensions. And you see throughout Scripture in Luke 9 and Luke 10 where Christ actually rebukes the Samaritans, the disciples for their attitude towards the Samaritans. Christ tells a story of a good what? Samaritan. Now, that's an oxymoron to the Jewish people. There's nothing good about a Samaritan. When Jesus Christ got a drink from the well in John chapter 4, it was from a Samaritan woman. And so we realize that Christ comes to seek and save and to heal and to minister to these people. And he comes across these 10 men with leprosy. Now, leprosy was a terrible, ugly, vicious, brutal disease. It would eat away at the nerve endings. People would lose their extremities. It was deformed. They were repulsive to look at. And if you look in Leviticus 13 and 14, there were some regulations and commands that the lepers had to live by. They had to live outside the city in leper colonies. And they were isolated from the general public. And if you were to walk near a leper during that time, a leper would have to cover his mouth and yell in a loud voice, "Unclean, unclean." Because it was so highly contagious, people didn't want to get it. And so there were some commands in Leviticus 13 and some commands in Leviticus chapter 14. But here they stand at a distance and they're calling out in a loud voice. But they didn't say, "Unclean, unclean." They yelled something different. They said, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Not unclean, but "Jesus, please have pity on us. Take pity on us." And what's happening here is they realize that there's something different about this person of Jesus Christ. They obviously heard the stories of Christ. They knew obviously of the miraculous powers that Jesus had. And they are crying out as individuals, we're not too sure where, but on the road, they're crying out and saying, "Heal us, take care of us, meet our needs." You know what Christ loves to do? Christ loves to meet needs. When someone calls out in desperation, you know what Christ loves to do? He loves to save. When the sinner cries out and says, "Lord, save me," Jesus doesn't say, "Well, let me get back with you on that." He's like, "This is what I've come to do, to seek and save the lost." And they knew that Christ was their only hope for anything. You know what? If you're not a follower of Christ, if you have not been saved and changed, and your life is not running hard after Christ, and you're missing out on the hope that we have. Jesus Christ, whether you've been born again for a week, whether you've been born again for 55 years, Jesus Christ is still our only hope. And they realize that, and they're crying out to Him. And we see what Christ does. He responds to them. It's interesting because he tells them this, "Go show yourself to the priest," in verse 14. When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, at different times, Christ would heal in different ways. We see in Matthew chapter 12 when he said to a man, "Stretch out your hand," and he stretched it out while Christ was there, and the hand from being shriveled was healed. He told the paralyzed man, "Pick up your mat," something physical to do, "and walk." And then Jesus got into a lot of trouble because here he is doing a lot of these things on the Sabbath day. Imagine... Christ heals on a Sabbath day a paralyzed guy, and they're all bent out of shape about it. Like, this guy hasn't walked in so many years, and now he's walking. In John chapter 9, he said, "Go wash yourself in the pool." In other instances, Christ would take dirt, and he would spit, and he would put it over the eyes of a blind man, and he would receive his sight back. But here he just says, "Go show yourself to the priest." And a lot of people ask, okay, so when were they healed? Well, it says it in verse 14. Look at the end of verse 14. It says, "And as they went, they were cleansed." I don't know how far they got away. It doesn't really matter how far they got away. But we realize in verse 15, there's a key word in there. One. How many lepers were there? How many lepers were there? And then verse 15 says, "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan." Where's Dave Kaner? Dave, where are you? Dave, you're a math teacher, right? All right. This is a tough one. There were 10 lepers, right? One was healed and came, I mean, all of them were healed, and how many came back? Okay, what's the percentage of that? 10%. If you brought home an exam that had a 10%, I don't think I could guess that poorly on an exam to get only 10%. 10% of the people came back. 1 out of 10. And this one just doesn't come back and say, "Hoo-hoo, thanks, Jesus. I feel good. I look a lot better. I go home to my family." What does he do? He realized who Jesus Christ was. And it says, praising God in a loud voice. Now, this term loud voice comes up often with the lepers because that's how they communicated their entire life with the outside people, with a loud voice. It says he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. This one person got it right. He understood. He was healed and he realized who Jesus Christ was. And then it's interesting, at the end of the verse 16, it says, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus Christ was Jewish. The Jewish healer heals what? A Samaritan. Christ begins to ask a series of questions in verse 17. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? And they're rhetorical questions. He knows there are. Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? You know, why didn't they come back? If you're cleansed of a disease that has no cure, why wouldn't you come back and at least just say thank you? I mean, how much effort is that really? Here are some reasons that people have said, and they're kind of a little tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but someone might say, you know, I did what he said, and I showed myself to the priest. He did not say I had to come back. You know, we always have those legalists. Like, I'm just doing what he told me to do. Someone might say, I celebrated with my family. My intentions were to go back, but I was so excited that I really never got around to it. I didn't know he expected me to go back. He heals for a living, you know, that's what he does. I'm not sure that Jesus really healed me. I've been taking these herbs that are supposed to cure leprosy. Well, the other 9 weren't. Now that I'm healed, I have to find a job, and in this economy, it's a little difficult, so I need as much time as I can. I've been so busy, talk show hosts, newspapers, magazines, my blog, my Twitter. In fact, I'm going to be meeting with a Hollywood executive next couple of weeks to discuss a book and movie. I'm afraid to go back. You know, he's a radical. He might tell me to sell everything, give to the poor, and follow him. I'm not ready to do that. You know, it really shouldn't surprise us that only one went back. Think about this past week, about the things that you've been thankful for. How many times do I really sit and thank God for the things that he has done for me? For the health, and for the job, and for the ministry, and for my family, and for Christ's salvation. How many times do I do that? There are many reasons that people are not thankful, and I don't want to get into a ton of them, but there is a huge difference between this one leper and the other 9. This one leper, his healing caused him to think of the healer. The healer was Jesus Christ, and he was healed. He wasn't just thankful because now I look a little bit better, and I can do things, and I can participate with other people. His healing was everything about the healer, whereas the others, they only thought of themselves. This one fell at the feet of Jesus Christ. The others knew him from a distance. And people often ask the question, and Scripture a lot of times doesn't give you the end of the story in some of these things. And what happened to the other 9? I don't know. It's not in there. And so obviously God doesn't want me to know. And I'm okay with that. But what happened to this one? What happened to the one who came and fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him and praised God Whatever that would look like, what happened to him? Look at verse 19. Then Christ says this. Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." The last word there, well. Oftentimes we will look at that as, "I feel well." Or we might say, "Your faith has made you better." But a better translation of this would be, "Rise and go, your faith has saved you." Because this word well is a Greek word, sozo, which means to save. Rise and go, your faith, coming back here and worshiping me, your faith has what? It has saved you. So that one of the ten, as they're back here and they're yelling, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us," and crying out to God, crying out to Christ specifically, they're healed. The one comes back, and not only is he simply healed physically, but he is healed spiritually. God saved him, changed his life. What are we thankful for? I want you to watch this video clip. And I want you to ask the question, which person in this video clip best describes you?
Yeah. Okay. Who would like to bless this fine meal?
I will, Mimi.
You know what, sweetie? That would be perfect. We would love that.
Dear God, thank you for turkey. Thank you for peas. And thank you for pie. And thank you for food. And thank you for butterflies. And then thank you for pink. And thank you for playtime. Thank you for cars. Thank you for bubbles. And thank you for gum, chewy gum. Thank you for Barbies. And thank you for my friends. Thank you for princesses. And then thank you for eyes to see. Thank you for cars. Thank you for pretty dresses. Or thank you for my skateboard and my bike. And thank you for riding my skateboard with me. And thank you for riding my bike with me. Oh, that was a good one. Thank you for pretty dresses. Thank you for princess shoes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thank you for butterflies. Thank you for fairies. Thank you for chocolate ice cream. And thank you for my trampoline. And thank you for corn candy. And thank you for crown. God, most of all, thank you for my family. They're the best family in the whole wide world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
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 Oh, hopefully the older gentleman did not describe you. You know, that little girl, she got it right. She was just in her own little world. And she just wanted to thank God for what? Everything. And you could see the further they got down the dinner, from a bike to chewing gum. And I think, is that me? Would I pray like that? Something happened. I don't have no idea. Maybe I said something I didn't realize. I've done that a few times in my life. When you leave here this evening, because we desire to live a life of thanksgiving, you're going to receive one of these pieces of paper. And on the back it says, "Practice thankfulness." You know, sometimes we need to be reminded to be thankful to God, to friends, to those who we minister with, to those we share with, to those we try to help. And there are a couple things I just want to just drive to your attention, get you to think about as we conclude here this evening with the message. I want you to realize that everything is God's. Everything that we have is God's. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Everything is God's. It's not mine. And so whether it's big or small, whether it's a little bit or a lot. God's given it to me, and I'm a steward, and I need to realize that. And everything that God has given to me, it's a blessing from Him. Realize that everything is God's. A second thing is this, is to care for those in need. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward him for what he has done." A lot of times we tend to compare ourselves with those who we think have it better. Let me tell you, as we compare, we'll always find people who have it worse than us, and we'll always find people who have it better than us in our minds. But as we think about that, sometimes we come away being not really grateful. And we care for those in need, we just realize how good we do have it and how much God has blessed us. And we need to pause and say, God, thank you for that. The third thing is fiercely avoid complaining. We see the children of Israel and God's response to them when they would grumble and they would complain. And we see in the scriptures in Philippians 2:4, do everything without complaining or arguing. And there are some people, unfortunately, even believers who are complaining specialists. They've got a degree in it. And the glass is just, you can't put one more drop of water in it, and there's not enough water in it. And when we complain, do you know who we ultimately complain to? To God. When I say, God, I just don't like the way I have it. I don't like this car. I don't like this office. I don't like my boss. I love you, Bob. I don't like, you know, this. I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm not happy with this. I wish my grass was greener. I wish the weeds were fewer. I wish the dandelions got rid of them. I wish the winter never came. All those things. Who am I ultimately complaining to? God. So I'm saying, God, I'm not appreciative of what you're doing. Fiercely. And I would encourage you to fight to avoid complaining. And replace it with this scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Another thing you can do is thank God for His generosity. Listen to this, that if you own a Bible, you are blessed. Because over one-third of the world does not have access to a Bible. One-third, 33% or so of the people in the world do not have access to the Word. I don't know how many Bibles I have. If you can read your Bible, you are blessed because more than 2 billion people in the world cannot read it all. If you have food in your refrigerator, if you have clothes in your back, if you have a roof over your head, and if you have $20 in your pocket, you are richer than 75% of the world's population. $21. You've got $25. You've got $100. We're richer than 75% of the world's population. And who do we need to thank for that? Ultimately, God. Fifth thing is this. Choose to live joyfully. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Be joyful always, giving thanks in every situation, in every circumstance." What Phil said this evening is his testimony, giving thanks to God during the trial in his life, realizing God placed it. God is sovereign. He's in control. He's on the throne. He hasn't gotten off the throne. He's not nervously pacing when we are going through difficult times and wondering, what am I going to do with Patrick? What am I going to do with this person? Choose to live joyfully. God gives us so many blessings. He has blessed us in so many ways. And tonight when you leave, you'll receive one of these. And just put it somewhere just to remind you of how blessed you are as a follower of Christ. And live with joy. And let the world know what you are thankful for. Let me pray with you. Thank you, God. Thank you for everything you've given to us. The physical needs, the way that you meet our needs, our families, the relationships that we have with other people, the hope that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. And right now, we just pause and we just want to say thank you for all that you have done for us. Father, help us to be like that one who is cleansed, the one leper who is cleansed, to come back to your feet and to worship you and to praise you and to thank you. Help us not to go through life just kind of skidding by and floating by and just cruising by, Help us to live a life of thankfulness to you, of thankfulness to others, that we might reflect the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that you take a leper and you cleanse him physically. Thank you for taking that leper and changing his life, for that leper to becoming a child of God. And thank you for what you have done for us in saving us and in changing us and drawing us to yourself. As we go into communion, may we be thankful for the blood and the body of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.